Take your Bibles. Let's turn to Psalm 50, please. Psalm 50, one verse tonight, verse 15. As we continue through some of these psalms, selected psalms. And we saw or heard a letter read tonight by a young boy, 13 or so, that was murdered. He had his faith promise offering ready. He had surrendered his life for the Lord's work. But God allowed that to happen to him. We don't understand those things. I don't understand those things. I'll guarantee you his parents don't understand fully those things. But whenever we think of God and we know that God loves us and God is in control, we have to learn to trust God even when life hurts, even when things are not good, even when the news is bad. Even when it's not what we want it to be, we have to trust God, even when life hurts. Psalm 50, verse 15, look at it, and call upon me in the day of trouble. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Now, the idea that we won't have any trouble as Christians is foreign to the Word of God. And we can trust God, and we usually do trust God until there's adversity. If it's something good, we say, well, the Lord did that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isn't that great? He did that. And He allowed that. And God was in control. If it's positive and good, as we would call it, then we'll say those things. But what about when adversity comes? What about when trouble comes? Cancer. Do we still understand that God is in control? What about bankruptcy? Or children that break our hearts? Or severely handicapped children that are born sometimes to families? Unfulfilled dreams? Injustice? Being mistreated? All kinds of problems that we have. Loneliness that comes our way, the loss of a loved one, war, the threat of war, terrorism, all of the things that are going on that we face today, whatever it may be, is God still in control? I think He is, because He says He is. And so, where is God, we ask sometimes. And we might ask the question, does God really care? Does He really care? Does God care? And I can tell you tonight that He does care. But what we have to learn to do in all circumstances is trust and obey. Trust the Lord and obey the Lord. Now I want to tell you, this may seem strange, but obedience sometimes is easier than trusting the Lord. Obedience sometimes is easier to come by than trusting the Lord during those times. Here's why. Because in obedience, we have well-defined standards. God says, do this, and that's right. Don't do that, and that's right. If you do that, that's wrong. If you do this, that's wrong. And God defines those standards exactly. And so we know whether we're doing right or whether we're not doing right. But when it comes to the area of trust, there are unknown things, there are problems that come we can't figure out, they're irrational, they don't make any sense, they are sometimes heartbreaking and oftentimes physically painful in our lives, as well as emotionally excruciating. Now, do we at the same time, are we able to give God the glory for that and trust Him in those times and obey Him in those times just like we would be if all things were going well? Now, I want to mention very quickly three things. That is, one, God is sovereign. He's on the throne. He's sovereign. And then God is infinite in His wisdom. Amen? God is infinite, endless in His wisdom. And God is perfect in His love. How many of you believe those three things? God is sovereign, infinite in His wisdom, and perfect in His love. I believe that tonight because I believe the Bible declares that. Now, God is sovereign. That means that God is in control of everything there is. How many of you believe God's in control tonight of everything? Say amen. I believe that. God is in control because the Bible teaches that. 1 Timothy 6:15, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Who's the only potentate? Who's the only one that has that power? It is God, in God alone. He's the only one that's in charge of everything there is anywhere that exists. And you and I can't begin to fathom what all's out there that God has been involved in for eons of time past. But I can tell you tonight, I believe it because the Bible says that God is the perfect controller of all things. God is the blessed controller of all things. And we call that God's providence. God works in our lives. And so when it's good events, we accept it. When it's not good events, we have a problem. When it's good, we say, God in His providence blessed us. We had a blessing today, and I said, well, praise God. There's nothing wrong with that. We had a very special blessing. But I want to tell you that it could have been some bad news. And I would just hope by the grace of God I would have praised God anyway. Suppose it isn't good news. Suppose in the providence of God, somebody is paralyzed from the waist down. God allows it. In God's providence, He lets some of those things happen. And we don't understand it, but do we still praise God? Now, in specific points, we might be able to do that, but in all things, at all times, we're to believe that God is in control, and if something comes our way, it's not an accident. It is God's providence and what God allows. And a lot of things enter into that. But let me just say that God does, no matter what, God's going to sustain us. God is sovereign. He's on the throne. He is our Father. He is our Lord. He is going to help us and He's going to sustain us no matter what we face. Colossians 1:17. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. All things hold together. Don't worry about it. It's going to hold together the way God wants it to hold together. He's in charge of it. All things. And He was there before what we would call all things, before this earth ever was, Adam and Eve ever was, any of those things. God was, and He was holding it together then, and He's holding it together tonight. Now, the deists say, well, God made it, and then God just walked away. He made everything and made us, and He just turned His back and walked away, and He's out there doing something. We don't know what He's doing tonight, but He's just out there doing something. He just made us and turned His back and walked away. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. God did not do that. God is very involved in your life tonight, and He's very involved in my life. Acts 17:28, for in Him we live and move and have our being. Amen. How? In Him. And if He didn't want us to breathe another breath tonight, we wouldn't breathe another breath. In the Lord, in God, we live and move and have our being. Psalm 31:5 says, our times, plural, are in His hands. What does that mean, times? It means everything we go through as we live our life. Our times, our living, are in His hands. Our breath is in His hands. Our food is in His hands. If you miss a plane, that may be in His hands. It's in His hands, but that may be the reason He allowed it to happen. Most of us can say that we had things happen to us that frustrated us later on to find out we said, thank God He did stop me, and thank God I wasn't there, and thank God that wasn't where I wound up that particular day because of the tragedy that took place. We need to praise Him if the car breaks down. He may have a greater purpose than that. We don't know. We don't understand that. We don't like to have flats. I went to church last Sunday night a week ago in Roanoke, Virginia. Had a borrowed car and came out, and the tire was flat, almost flat. I don't know why that had to be at that particular time, but I'm not going to argue with God. That's a minor thing. But I'm just saying, God's in charge of all of it, and God knows what's going on in our lives, in our times, and those things that happen are in His hands. And it doesn't matter what it is. God governs everything. Look at Matthew 10, just a second. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29. And here's the question. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Now, what could be more inconsequential than a sparrow? Sparrows everywhere. We got blackbirds in Texas. I think they're going to carry us. Maybe they're going to be the instruments that take us up in the rapture. I don't know. There's so many of them around here. You go to the shop, but they're pretty big birds. But a little bitty sparrow? Just think about that. A little bitty tiny sparrow. And they're a dime a dozen and they're everywhere. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now explain God and explain all that. We cannot, but God is in charge. God is sovereign. God knows what's going on. And God governs that. And God knows how many hairs you have on your head. And I'm not going to make any wisecracks about that tonight. I feel more spiritual than that. But listen, is it God or is it chance? And I hear Baptists who claim to believe the Bible say, well, I was lucky the other day. Now, I'm not going to fall out with you if you say that. It's sort of part of our culture and we sort of know what we mean, I guess. But there's no such animal around for the child of God. To the non-Christian, they might call it fate. They might call it chance. They might call it luck, winning the lottery or whatever. They may have a lot of names for it. And even in nature, they refer to nature and talk about being lucky or that just being part of nature and things happen like that. And again, I find a lot of Christians that think sort of like the secular humanistic deist, and they act as if God is not involved in our lives and that God just sort of turned His back and walked away, and that's not true. God is very involved in my life, in your life tonight. A plane can crash and somebody will say God had no part in that. Well, God allowed it. There are those who say, 911, God had no part in that. I don't know exactly what part, but I can tell you this. If God had wanted to stop it, God could have stopped it. God allowed it in His providence, and God must have had a reason for allowing that. Now, my personal feelings, and many would disagree with that, is that God is pouring out some of His wrath upon America. He's showing us that we've gotten away from Him. That's not a personal vendetta against those people that were in that building. It's just a matter that that's the way it is. And read the Bible and see how God has acted and what God has done in the past. And remember that God is no respecter of persons. And God is actively involved and God allows some of those things. Now, sometimes, since we're in a warfare, God will allow, if He wants to, for whatever reason, Satan to attack us. Now, I know we're always in that battle and always in that warfare. But sometimes God gives Satan permission to attack us. Now, I don't know of many instances in the Bible, but we know that Job went through that. And Satan had to get permission from God in order to do what he did to Job, but God allowed it. Now, why in the world did God allow it? Well, He allowed it primarily, the bottom line is, for His glory. He allowed it for His glory. Just like He allowed Lazarus to die. And Mary and Martha said, if you would have been here on time, and I can almost hear Jesus say, I'd just like to remind you that I'm always on time. I am God. I am sovereign. And I allowed him to die so I could call his name and show you that I'm the way, the resurrection, the life, and that I can raise the dead, and that you will know me in a greater relationship. God does that. God allowed Satan to have permission to attack Job. You say, well, preacher, what about choice? Don't we have any choice in any of these things? You talk about God being sovereign. Is there any will on man's part and any choice? Oh, yes. Certainly there is. And God allows us to act against His revealed will. Do you know, as a Christian, you can act against God's will, what God really wants for you. But you can never, and follow what I'm saying, you can never act in such a way that you'll mess up His sovereign will. Because God's going to carry out His sovereign will, whether you cooperate or whether I cooperate in the world and in the life, in our lives, God's going to carry out His sovereign will one way or the other. But He allows us to choose some things in our own life and act against His revealed will. Probably some of us did that today. And some probably did it last week. We knew what God's will was, but we acted against the will of God. And God allows us. But it didn't shake heaven up. It didn't make God worried about anything. It didn't cause God to have any kind of apprehension about things going bad. God, I suppose, just looked at people that did that and said, looks like they'd know better than to do that. Because I'm God. I'm on the throne. Felix and Paul gave him the truth. Felix had an opportunity to get saved. God did not force him to get saved. He dealt with that. And he said, well, I sort of like what you're saying. I put it in my language. I sort of like what you're saying, Paul, but let's wait to some more convenient season. Now, was it God's will for him to get saved? I think so. Did he get saved? No. Did that shake up heaven? No. Did that mess up God's sovereignty? Not on your life. God was still in charge. And that was the same in Joseph and his being thrown into prison. Why in the world would God allow all those things to happen to him? But God had a reason, had a purpose. And sometimes, let me just say this, God's sovereignty is not always apparent to you and me. That's why we've got to have faith. We may not understand it. It may not be apparent. There's some things that have happened to me and will, no doubt, and I think, God, I don't quite understand this. And there's some things I've never figured out yet. But God allowed those things in my life, and so I have to trust Him during that. That happened to Esther. God was in charge there. You think that was an accident? That she was there in the king's palace and all of those things were taking place? That was the case before God, and that slipped up on God, and that was an accident? Not at all. God took care of all of that. And God was not asleep. And when God got through in a number of those different situations, Haman was the one that lost. And God was still in control of everything. Though Haman thought he was in control of it, he wasn't. Romans 8:28, one of my very favorite verses in the Bible, but sometimes I have to admit it's awful hard to quote in my circumstance. But we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And I want to tell you, sometimes I have to quote that by faith, and I don't understand it, and I don't know why certain things are true, but I just know God knows. And I have to leave it in His holy hands and keep on going, because God has an overarching purpose in what He allows to come our way. There are many illustrations in the Bible of that. We don't have time, but what we've got to do is trust in God. A nation. God is over the nation. He's sovereign over that. I have some concerns, like many of you, what's going to happen in the future. You hear them talking about we've already gone into socialism and we're really getting ready to go into it deeper, and we're going to have some changes and we don't know what they're going to be. The economy's in a mess. And it's in a terrible situation, and we've got all of the worldwide problems. We've got Israel fighting now. In self-defense, I might add, against Hamas, there in Gaza. We have all these things taking place. We don't know what's going to happen next. But friend, relax, because God is a sovereign over nations, and God is a sovereign over people. He's in charge of all of it. God is a sovereign over decisions that are made and military victories and over all of those things. God is a sovereign over nature. I've never met Mother Nature, have you? I want to meet her. I want to walk up some of those weather people and say, "Where's Mother Nature? I'd like to meet her." I always thought God was in control of all that. I think he says so. I think he put a rainbow up there to remind us that if he didn't want it to flood again, it would never flood again. Sounds to me like he's in charge of the weather. And you know as well as I do, there are many verses that would back that up. Whether it's an earthquake or whether it's a hurricane or tornadoes or those things, we say it's just Mother Nature, it's just accidental and all of that. I don't believe it myself. I believe God's in control of all of that. And God, if he wants to let it rain on your 4th of July party, he can do it. If he has a greater reason for allowing it to be done, God can do that. Amos 4:7, "I caused it to rain on one city and not to rain on another." Sounds to me like God's in charge of it. God can make it rain here and on one town and the other one doesn't get it. So we need to either complain about the weather or thank God for the weather. Amen. In Texas, you got to make up your mind a lot more than some places, it seems like. All right, a couple more points and we're finished right quick. And that is this: God is perfect in his wisdom. He's sovereign and he's perfect in his wisdom. What is the end of all of it? It is for his glory. You say, "Well, I don't know that God has a right to have that kind of glory." Oh, yes, he does. God always has been. You know, that blows my mind. God never did have a beginning. You ever think about that? You just get way out there and out of space in your mental capacity and you say, "Where'd God come from?" And you say, "He didn't come from anywhere. He always has been. He is the great I am that I am. He always has been." My mind starts short-circuiting about that time and I say, "God, I believe it because you said it's in the Bible, and I believe you always have been, and I just have to trust you and know it." But it is all for his great glory. God is the one that is the holy sovereign of all things, and God is the one who deserves all the glory. And he wants the glory, and he'll do it. It's all in his infinite wisdom, to his glory, and for our benefit. That's why he can bring beauty out of ashes. Nobody else can do that but God, really, in that sense. He is a God that wants to bring holiness in our lives. Why does God allow some tough things to happen to us? For his glory. And then sometimes to help us that we might be holier for his honor and glory. You remember that we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. That's God's predestinated. We don't get into that hyper-Calvin stuff. That's not what he's talking about. But God has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his son, to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And God doesn't have to explain to you or me, and nor does he have to explain to Job, that that is his will and he allows it. These are just some of the reasons. What we need to do is learn. Don't interrupt God, just learn. Don't interrupt him. Don't question him. Oh, there's a certain amount of human element in there, I know, and we wonder a little bit, but when the bottom line is there, we say, "God, I may not understand it, and I have a few questions, yes, but I still trust you. I still believe you're in charge." Don't interrupt God, that's what I mean, but learn from God. And then we know that God is love. Knowing the love of Almighty God, God wants us to know that. And God has a reason, God has a purpose, and he wants to show us, "I'm perfect in my love." Romans 8:35, beautiful verse, you're very familiar with it. "Who shall separate us from the love of God?" Now listen to it. Shall trouble? Shall hardship? Shall famine? All of those things. He names all of that. Is this going to separate us from the love of God? Rest assured and be comforted that it will not. No matter what comes our way, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He gave Himself for us. And we go to Calvary and look at Calvary and we see God's love again, don't we? That's our sovereign God. And why does God allow things to come that hurt? Well, one thing is, I think, sometimes to just cause us to learn to walk by faith. God is pleased when we walk by faith. And somehow, some way, He's glorified through it all. Trust God no matter what we go through. Let's stand, please. Heavenly Father, God, we, to the very best of our ability, we try as Your children to do that. Help us when we're weak. And Lord, I know that even tonight in this building, there are people who are dealing with and perhaps even struggling with some things in their lives. But may You comfort them with a reminder of Your word that You're sovereign and You're infinite in Your precious wisdom and You're precious in Your love, a love that will never leave us. And may all of these realities comfort us tonight and grant to us, no matter what our problems, what we're going through, what we're facing, that You're in charge, You're sovereign, and that we're all right and You love us. Lord, help us in these times when the world scene looks bad. In America, it looks like we're going through some major things that perhaps are really not good. But oh God, help us to look to You, the author and finisher of our faith. I just pray that tonight would be encouraged. We need encouragement, God. Please encourage our hearts. In Christ's name.